Just out of curiosity, yes, it was 8 years ago. It was actually May 31st, was that Sunday. How many of you were here at Dolan Baptist Church when we came? Show me your hands. How many of you are here? Man, there's a whole lot more of you that have come than those that remain. Well, if that's good or bad. The truth is, most of the ones that aren't here anymore have I preached many of their funerals. This picture on the front page, a lot of changes since that picture was made. My children have gotten about that little girl right there is, of course, she's dead in my mind, but she's driving a car. My son is married and has a daughter of his own. I lost 140 pounds. And we added a child that's not even in the picture yet because she wasn't with us yet. That's a great memorial. Is memorial, that does that mean it's like posthumous? Okay. It's a great memory. How about that? Wow, I have quite a bit to bring you today. Thought I messed up. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. If you would, I know you've been standing a long time and sitting and standing, and if you're able and willing, if you would stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, beginning there, it says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others." Thank you, and God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this message. Help me to speak it and articulate it the way you intended, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got several stories that I collected. I want to share some of those with you. There's a story about a city fella who was visiting his relatives on a farm. And the farmer gave a whistle and his dog herded the cattle into the corral. And then he latched the gate with his paw. Smart dog. We were over at Barbara Rollins' house, Barbara and Floyd's house, and their dog can open the front door. It's have the leather latch, and Booger can come in the door anytime he wants to unless they lock the door. So he came in yesterday, and she just shook her head. She said, "He hasn't learned to close it yet. Needs to see this dog." This dog latched the gate with her paw after she herded the cattle into the pen. The guy said, the city fella said, "Wow, that's some dog. What's her name?" And the farmer sat there for a minute and he kind of shook his head and went, "What do you call that red flower that smells good and has thorns on the stem?" And he said, "A rose?" "That's it, that's it." "Hey, Rose, what do we call this dog?" There are times when we as people can be quite forgetful. I've been there, done that, haven't you? And it happens more and more as time goes on, it seems. What's your worst happening of forgetfulness? Did you ever get in your car, reach for your keys, and didn't have them? How many of you have ever misplaced or lost your phone? Okay, yeah. They used to be tied to the wall, right? They used to be tied to the wall. Then we had cordless phones, and now we've got phones you take everywhere with you, and how many of you, since that new technology, can't remember your own phone number? Or the phone number of your spouse or parent, yeah? Or kid. I don't know what Zachary's phone number is. Just push Zachary on my phone and it dials him. Have you ever forgotten the names of your own children? Growing up, I was the youngest of six kids. Now, there were three boys and three girls. I'm the youngest. My name is Mike, or Michael sometimes. If my mom called me Michael, I was usually in trouble. But my oldest brother was named Walter. My middle brother, and the one closest to me in years, 9 years older than me, his name is Wayne. And I forever thought my name was Walter Wayne Mike. Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. I called Rebecca Aaron the other day. I guess because they're just so beautiful, both of them. If we're put in the right situation at the right time, we can all be quite forgetful, right? There's a story about Albert Einstein. He had moved to his home at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton in New Jersey, and the telephone rang in the office of the dean for Princeton Graduate School. And the voice at the other end inquired, "May I speak with Dr. Einstein, please?" Advised that he was not in, the voice continued, "Perhaps you will tell me where Dr. Einstein lives." The secretary replied that she could not do this since Dr. Einstein wished to have his privacy respected. The voice on the telephone dropped to a near whisper, "Please, do not tell anybody, but I am Dr. Einstein. And I'm on my way home, but I've forgotten where my house is." That would be pretty bad, wouldn't it? You ever been driving down the road and you're just driving a road that you've driven 100 times and you just go, "Where am I?" Does that happen to anybody or just me? Okay, I'm not alone. Good. There was another story I've got that at a commuter train station, a policeman noticed a woman with her head bowed over the steering wheel. And she was obviously in discomfort. And the police officer asked her, "Is there anything wrong?" Half crying and half laughing, she said, "For 10 years I've been driving my husband to this very station every morning to catch this train. This morning I forgot him." The worst forgetfulness of all is to forget people. One of the biggest lessons that we need to learn is that God didn't put us here for us. He put us here for others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can be comfort to those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves received from God." Did you hear God speaking to your heart right then? God comforts us so that we can comfort other people. God ministers to us so that we can minister to other people. He loves us so we can love other people. He put us here for others. Philippians 2, the third verse of that chapter, that passage we read at the first said, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." We live in a very self-centered society. It's every man for himself, every woman for herself, every kid for themselves, and I'm just taking care of myself. It's me, mine. But in humility, we are to consider others better than ourselves. We need to look around. We need to see the good in others. The good which sometimes is even better than our good. That fourth verse says this, "Each of you should not only look to your own interest, but also to the interest of others." We should be interested in others for their good, not for our gossip. Sometimes the only interest we show in other people is when we got a story to tell about them. "Did you hear what so-and-so said to so-and-so?" You didn't? I didn't either, but so-and-so told me that they overheard somebody talking about the one that they heard. It just gets so convoluted, right? This Memorial Day weekend, we need to be concerned about others for their own good, for their good. For many people, this weekend means picnics, parades, trips to the lake. It means grills, food, family, and fun, and there is nothing wrong with that, and that is all good stuff. Amen? All right. For a few people, it means going to the graves of deceased loved ones and remembering. And remembrance can be tough. Perhaps that's why some don't do it. But it's generally good to remember others, deceased or living. It's always good to think of others, to love others, to remember others, just like the Scripture told us. on this Memorial Day weekend, we need to think about people. God put us here to remember other people, right? He put us here to remember them. And I think we can remember them in death, and we can remember them in life. And let me tell you something. As a side note, don't wait until someone's dead to tell them something. Yeah. At funerals, I preached a funeral yesterday. Too many people wait until that day to say good things about the person that's in the box. Tell them now, today, while they can hear it. It's encouragement. Remembering people in death. This story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Y'all remember that story? Raised Lazarus from the dead. He loved Lazarus. He loved the sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus loved people, right? That's an understatement. And at times, Jesus loved some more intensely than others. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're to love all people, but there are times when we love people more intensely, right? Or they're needing love more intensely from us, right? It's okay to do that. But when someone is hurting, doesn't it just tug at your heart and make you want to love them even more? Don't be afraid to show that. Remember them while they're here. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." Sometimes people hurt, and sometimes they hurt a lot. They weep. And it's during those times we need to show them greater kindness and a more intense love. They need to be loved. They need to be remembered. They need to be valued. How's your love life? Now, I'm not talking about in that kind of love life. I'm talking about, how do you love people? How do you love other people? Now let me tell you something. People aren't easy to love. And some people, it's really difficult to love. Do we find in Scripture that God says, well, those people, don't bother with them, loving them? No, He says we need to love others, all people. We need to remember people in death. Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved his sisters. Jesus remembered them. Have you ever remembered anyone in death? Have you ever been to a funeral? Have you ever spoken at a funeral? Have you ever been to a gravesite? Have you ever been with somebody in those last hours? There's a story that I found. It was just, it's kind of long, but I got to read it. It's called Dad's Glimpse of Heaven, and it's by Edna Hirschberger, and she's the daughter-in-law of this man she's talking about, that she calls Dad. At 4 a.m., the nurse woke Dad to give him a breathing treatment. "Mr. Hirschberger, do you know where you are?" "The hospital," he answered politely and closed his eyes again. She wrapped the blood pressure cuff around his arm. "Mr. Hirschberger, who's the president of the United States?" Dad looked at me with an expression that said, "Do I have to answer these silly questions in the middle of the night?" She raised her voice. "Mr. Hirschberger, who's the president of the United States?" "Do we have one?" he asked her. "Good answer, Dad," I teased. The nurse laughed loudly, gave him a mock punch on the shoulder, and put an oxygen mask over his face and turned on the noisy machine. "I guess you're awake enough for this." A week or two, that's how long the doctor said Dad might live. And we wanted to make the most of every minute, so I was glad to sit with my father-in-law during the night while my husband, Dwight, slept on a sofa in the visitor's lounge down the hall. Sweet memories. She said, "I brushed the damp hair from his forehead. I wonder how it feels to know that you'll soon see God." "It feels good," Dad said without hesitating. "It's such a mystery. Tell us what you feel and see and hear to help us understand what you're experiencing." "I'll try," he promised. "Are you scared?" "No, I feel at peace. I've been wishing to go to heaven all day." That was Tuesday night. In 4 days, Dad would be transferred to the nursing center where he hoped he'd never have to go. I thought about Dad falling asleep and not waking up. There were some things I wanted to tell him. "Hey, Dad, soon after Dwight and I started dating, he told me what you said about me. You told him that he had picked a good one. You told him that I was a peach. No one had ever called me a peach before, and I've loved you ever since." He squeezed my hand and closed his eyes. I better be quiet and let you sleep, I apologized. No, he said quickly. I want you to keep talking. I just can't keep my eyes open. Suddenly, Dad jumped as though startled by something. I sat up. I held both of his hands in mine. I put my face close to his. Is something wrong, Dad? His eyes were open, but he didn't seem to see me. I'm leaving, I thought I heard him say in a weak voice. Did you say I'm leaving? I asked quickly. I'm leaving, he repeated more distinctly. He surely couldn't mean dying, not yet. I tried to think of some appropriate last words to say, and in this case, if it really was the end, but my mind went blank. I started to say, I love you, but he interrupted me with one word. It sounded like cold. Oh, you're cold. I tried to reach for the blanket, but he wouldn't let go of my hand. He tensed up and quickly spelled it out for me with emphasis on the G sound. G-O-L-D, gold, gold, gold and silver, gold. I was shivering. My heart was pounding. I leaned my head against the cold metal bed rail. Lord, please carry him gently, I prayed. We love you, Dad. I kept repeating as he took four long, shuddering breaths. And then he was still. His hands became limp. I should call the nurse, I thought, but I couldn't move. I sat there in the darkness, holding Dad's badly bruised hands with the IV fluid still running into him. My forehead seemed fused to the bed rail. Tears ran down my cheeks. 6 inches from my face, something supernatural had occurred, something far greater than my mind could absorb. I knew God was in the room. I couldn't see him or feel him. I longed to be able to see what Dad had seen. I gently laid Dad's hands on the bed and walked out to the nurse's desk. I dried my cheeks and blew my nose. Excuse me, I said. My father-in-law is gone. She jumped out of her chair. What do you mean gone? He just died, I said with a sob. That can't be, she stammered. He was just joking with me a few minutes ago. She grabbed the stethoscope, rushed into the room, turned his lights and ceiling lights on and called his name. I walked down the hall to tell my husband that his father had just gone to heaven. And there really is gold there. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Many of you have. That's remembering and loving a person in death. There's a poem that I learned years and years ago. I'm going to try to recite it for you. It's an old cowboy poem. It's called Old Concho. The little young cowboy says, I remember the day old Concho died. I'd like to tell you about it if I may, because it made me feel real strange inside, like I ain't felt since that day. We were alone there at a bunkhouse. He was sick, and I was aching from a bronc that had thrown me the day before. You see, about my keen riding skill, I'd been mistaken. And all the time there in the bunkhouse, he hadn't said a word, till all of a sudden, though soft, it startled me when a break in the silence I heard. Come over here, son, he gravely said. I listened to his say about all the things he had done in life and what he'd like to have done in his day. He talked of open ranges and the big outfits that he'd known, the places that he'd ridden for from Montana to Old Mexico. Then he talked about the friends he lost way back in the war. And a tear rolled down his wrinkled face as he paused, and then he named some more. Check it here. Then he asked me to read the Bible. Psalm 23, I believe. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he took hold of my sleeve and said, son, let no man mock you when you pray to Christ our Lord and look for all the answers in life there within his holy word. Oh, roping and riding's important in this life we live, but as we travel this journey, my son, there's something more important to give. Oh, teach those skills to the young ones, he said. And boy, he'd sure taught me. But leave with them also the knowledge you have of what Christ did for you and for me. And he breathed in deep a couple of times, and then he sort of sighed. And there, still clutching my sleeve, but with a smile on his face, he softly and quietly died. No, I'll never forget old Concho and how he made me feel that day. I just pray that when it's my turn to cross that great divide, I will have made some other young cowpuncher feel that way. I like that poem. There's so many, the young and the old coming together. Our youth have initiated a kind of a way to do that through the prayer partnership. I love that thought and that idea. I love to see that happen. I love it when one of our youth or one of the adults go and grab their prayer partner and bring them down to the altar and pray. Those are making memories. And those are important. It's important to do those things. We need to remember people in death in some form or other. Go to the cemetery where your loved ones are buried and remember them. It may shock your heart, but do it anyway. Remember your loved ones who have gone before you. Remember and appreciate them. Remember and rejoice for their life. Remember and praise God for them. But we also need to remember people in life. Now, we need to remember them in any form that shows that we care about them. Take them fishing. Go get a cup of coffee. Go to Sonic Happy Hour. Get a banana milkshake. We may not get a second chance at loving some people. We better love them while we can. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36 says this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news and the kingdom of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was a looker. He looked around. He really looked at people. He looked at them deeply and could see their hurt, their pain, their sorrow. He saw their joys. He was aware of the people around him, and he was sensitive. What about us? Do we look around? I know that I have heard time and time and time again about the good folks from this church and how they show compassion, how they notice, how they take care of one another, and that's important. But there are still yet others around us. Helen Keller once said, "To be blind is bad, but it's worse to have eyes and not see." Sometimes we're blind to the pain of others. A preacher was in a study preparing a sermon when his little boy, his own child, walked into the room and holding a finger that he had pinched in the door. And he said with an expression of suffering, "Look, Daddy, it hurts really bad." That preacher father glanced at him and said with a tone of impatience, "I can't help it, honey." The little boy's eyes grew bigger. As he turned to go out, he said in a low voice, "Yes, you could have helped it. You could have said, 'Oh, I'm so sorry.'" Are we so blind, so unsympathetic, so insensitive that we can't see the hurt around us? What will make a difference? What will make the difference in us personally? It's only Christ that makes a difference in us. A man put up a sign in his yard that read, "Puppies for sale." And among those who came to check him out was a young boy. "Please, mister," he said, "I'd like to buy one of your puppies if they don't cost too much." "Well, son, they're $25 each." The boy looked crushed. "Well, I've only got $2.05. But could I see him anyway?" "Of course. Maybe we can work something out," said the man. The boy's eyes danced at the sight of those five little balls of fur. "I heard that one had a bad leg," he said. He said, "Yes, I'm afraid she'll be crippled for life." "Well, that's the puppy I want," the boy said. "Could I pay for her a little at a time?" The man responded, "But she'll always have a limp." Smiling bravely, the boy pulled up one pant leg, revealing a brace. "I don't walk so good either." And then looking at the puppy sympathetically as he continued, "I guess she'll need a lot of love and help. I know I sure did. And it's not so easy being crippled." "Here, take her," said the man. "I know you'll give her a good home, and just forget the money." When we get to the point in our lives that we realize that we too are crippled as human beings, then we will demonstrate sympathy and compassion for others in their pain and suffering. We can't understand what we have not experienced. Yesterday, I made that mistake. Yesterday, I was preaching, right before I preached the funeral for Pam Ramos. I was talking with Joy Sheffield, that's Pam's mother. She said, it's hard burying your children. And without thinking, I'd said, I know. And then I heard a voice in my head say, no, you don't. So I immediately corrected my statement. I said to Joy, I said, no, I don't know what it's like. I can't imagine that devastation, but I feel for you. I don't know what that's like. Some of you do. We need to look around us. Like Jesus, he looked at the crowds. Look at the ones who are just outside of the crowd. We need to be aware and be sensitive and have compassion. We need to remember people while they are alive. There's one other thing that I think we should think about in regard to remembering people in their lives. Matthew 20, verse 28 says this. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus was a servant of other people. He didn't stand around waiting to be served. He washed the feet of His disciples. He went about doing good. He healed people. He touched people. He connected with children. Instead of trying to run them down or run them off, He blessed them. He was a servant of the servants. One man asked, by whose preaching were you converted? The man replied, not by anyone's preaching, but by my mother's practicing. Few people serve more or better than a loving mother. All of us could learn from loving mothers who have gone about their business, never said a word, never complained. They just kept right on serving and loving. We need to remember people by being servants to one another. We need to serve one another. The final story, if you Google remembrance, memorial, you can find a ton of stories. I just have one more for you. Years ago, the Salvation Army was holding an international convention and their founder, General William Booth, could not attend because of a sickness. He sent his convention message to them. It was one word, and it said, others. And then below that, he said, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others. Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like Thee. We owe a debt to many people who stood in the gap on our behalf. Remember them this weekend. As you have your picnic and barbecues and grill times, remember why we have the freedom to do those things. Remember them often, not just this weekend. But remember people while they're still here and tell them why you can, because it matters. I don't know what's going on in your head today, but I do know that thoughts are seldom realized without action. So if you're thinking about your relationship with Christ and maybe you realize you don't have one, I'd love to speak with you about that. If you're thinking about that relationship and realize that it's not what it should be, I'd love to speak with you about that. But the truth is, you don't need me to talk to Jesus. Are you brave enough to have that conversation? Rebecca and I stand right here every Sunday morning, and we're available if we can help. We'd love to pray with you, but you don't need us. But I will tell you this. I am certainly, truly, and deeply blessed to have that opportunity. For 8 years now with this group of folks and counting, if I can be of service to you, it would be my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure. The altar is always open. If something said this morning touched you, it may be something from the music. Music is powerful, folks. Powerful. If you feel something the Lord is telling you today, let me encourage you, act upon it. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Live today while it is still called today. And take care of business today while you can. Amen. Would you stand with me as I pray? Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for the chance and the opportunity to pause and to recognize and remember those who made it possible to be in this place, to do what we're doing now. Lord, we thank you for their lives. We honor them. Lord, I thank you for the people that are here, though, right here today in this room. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave this place in a few moments, our mind doesn't go too quickly to what's for lunch. What are we going to do today? What are our plans for tomorrow? But Father, we walk out of here thinking about those who sacrificed. And Lord, our military personnel, I just thank you so much. I don't have no other greater words than say thank you. I can't think about our men and women in military making sacrifice without thinking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord, you purchased a freedom that never fades. We didn't even deserve it. God, you are so good to us. You are so good to us. When I think about the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One, I can't. There are too many. But I should try. I should try. Father, help me, Michael Nix, to tell people today while I have an opportunity, each and every day, Lord, thank you, to show compassion, to show love, to show honor and respect. And Father, I pray that you would challenge us all to do the same. To tell people they matter to us now when they can hear it and be encouraged by it. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. We're going to sing a song. This is your time. Let me just encourage you. You know, a thought in the head is one thing, but taking action on that thought, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where things start to happen. Let me just encourage you. Take action today.